This is Asia Weekly from the Voice of America, the podcast that goes beyond the headlines to uncover what's really happening and places events into context. There's no forthcoming ASEAN statement critical of China's activities in the South China Sea after member state Cambodia dissents. Was Cambodia's decision influenced by pledges of aid from Beijing? And what does this say about ASEAN's worth to smaller countries in the region in containing their powerful neighbor? Hey everyone, Steve Miller here. So great to have you with me today. Now, last week, days after The Hague's Permanent Court of Arbitration awarded the Philippines a victory in its case against China in the South China Sea, Beijing began a massive PR campaign to press its position. Part of China's campaign included shoring up international support to denounce the ruling and approaching other nations to voice their backing for Beijing. Cambodia, which receives significant aid from Beijing, was one of the first to do so. So, what can be made out of China's use of what some call checkbook diplomacy? Curtis S. Chin, Asia Fellow with the Milken Institute.
I think that China, just like every other country in the world, through its development assistance, through its diplomacy, through its soft power, is really trying to advance, understandably, its own national interests. So very clearly, when you look at Southeast Asia, China is very much a player for better and for worse. And we see it in the trade connections between China and the Southeast Asian nations. But really all around Asia, China is increasingly a trade partner. And so what China is doing with its checkbook, with its diplomacy, is simply trying to create friends and partners, shall we say, through its investments.
Scott Harold, Associate Director for the Center for Asia-Pacific Policy at the RAND Corporation, says that ASEAN member states
generally tend to regard ASEAN as a way for Southeast Asian states, all of which are weaker than their surrounding great powers, so China, Japan, the United States, India, Russia, even Australia, they regard the ASEAN format as a way for those weaker, smaller Southeast Asian nations to have greater influence.
However, Harold says participation in ASEAN is only a portion of each member state's foreign policy calculations.
And when the member states that have disputes with China, for example, seek to try to mobilize their Southeast Asian neighbors to craft a joint statement, at times there is a desire to do that, but when China makes it clear for some of the weaker, smaller, poorer, or more corrupt states that it is going to make them pay costs in their relations with China, then you see countries like Cambodia and Laos backing out.
In this particular case, Curtis Chin says China's aid to Phnom Penh, including a recent pledge of $600 million, is in line with Beijing's practices because
for Cambodia, China is its most significant partner. Each nation is seeking to advance their own interests. Cambodia is getting tremendous amounts of money from China. And China, I don't want to say it's a quid pro quo, but China is certainly getting an ally in China's own efforts to advance its opinions in the region.
The RAND Corporation's Scott Harold says there is some resentment towards China when it employs such tactics, because when Beijing says jump,
but your only right is to ask how high, is not very well appreciated. And I think it may be a reality that small states are takers in the international system, but it's not something they like.
Looking to ASEAN's future, the Milken Institute's Curtis S. Chin notes that for the past few years, the foreign and finance ministers of the group haven't been able to speak with a single voice when it comes to China. So,
if China can, let's say, peel off a member of ASEAN, given China's interests, whether they do it through diplomacy or money or some mix of the two, clearly ASEAN suffers. But moving forward, what will be very interesting is to see how both China and the ASEAN nations, such as the Philippines and Vietnam, who are very concerned about the South China Sea, be interesting to see how we move forward, how that region moves forward.
China's influence within ASEAN notwithstanding, Scott Harold says a more troubling issue is the ineffective leadership from some of the organization's large and or strategic member states. That's not to say that China's involvement at certain times doesn't have the effect of disrupting ASEAN's unity. However, Harold says Beijing doesn't appear to have a long-term interest in driving wedges between members.
Because frankly, ASEAN is riven by a number of disputes.
And that's going to do it for this episode. But you know what? The conversation doesn't end here. What do you think the future holds for ASEAN and its leadership in the region? Be sure to share your answers with me on Twitter or Facebook at Steve Miller VOA or on our community Facebook page, VOA Now. If you enjoyed the show, please share with your friends and don't forget to subscribe so you can get the podcast delivered to you automatically. You can do so in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. It's quick, it's easy, and it's free. Thank you so much for joining me today. And until next time, be true to yourself and always be awesome.